You're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello. How are you doing? My name is Liz. That's JD, and this is RBLR Sun.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's really good to go into a break when you won a game dominantly over your closest rival to like as your last game, because now I get 2 weeks of like hell yeah instead of like spiraling. So that's really good.
The only thing keeping me going right now are the various international games that are playing, because I need something to watch.
I was gonna say, how are you doing? But it doesn't sound great over there.
I'm missing my son's soccer.
Well, we'll get a little bit on Saturday.
We'll teeniest bit, but yes.
The littlest bit. We have some details on that a little bit later on the show for everybody. Good morning. Happy Wednesday, I guess, if you listen on the day this comes out.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean there's no news, because we actually have a pretty busy show today.
Considering we don't have a preview or a match recap.
Yeah. This is what I wanted every episode to be during the midseason break when I joined the show, and there was like nothing. We were like, we saw in the background of an Instagram story something.
Oh,
and now it's like,
oh, just wait
detail.
Till the summer, the month and a half we have off, where they don't announce anything till like 2 weeks before, and we're just sitting there like, give us
that's
the news.
That's when I'm gonna start like a Sun Football Manager save and just give updates about how that's going or something, you know.
I'm here for it.
You know who would be the number one player on my Sun Football Manager save? Would probably be,
who would that be?
Our first team player of the month player, Sidney Nasello.
What a transition.
Low key the Sun Goat. High key the Sun Goat.
Yes, so we have two players on the team of the month. We have Sidney Nasello on first team. She has had 3 goals in 3 matches, 1 versus Spokane and 2 versus Fort Lauderdale. And then there's one in the middle where she didn't score, but we don't have to worry about that. And all 5 shots that she has taken, and they are including the last week of January and the February team of the month. So all 5 shots she has taken were on target.
She was pretty much just so good in the Fluted game that like alone kind of got her on the team of the month, I would say.
Yep. And then we had Sabrina McNeil on the bench for second team. And they did not give stats for that one. And it's super hard to find just 1 month of stats. So really all I found was that she assisted Nasello on that 1 goal for Spokane. But honestly, we needed that 1 goal.
Vibes-based.
Yeah,
team reporting.
I mean, she's on the bench with, like, Jasmine Hamid. So, like, it's not a bad place to be.
We take those.
Yeah. We also had a friendly versus Racing Louisville. Do we know anything about it? Other than it happened? No. Because why would they tell us anything? There was nothing on the Racing Louisville Twitter. There was nothing on our Twitter. Nada.
Louisville didn't even tweet anything. They retweeted the Sun's post.
Yes, we couldn't.
So they didn't
even get an original content tweet.
The only post on the day is that they went to I looked today. The only post on the day was that they went to a CrossFit gym in Orlando, presumably after our game. They drove back to Orlando, I guess.
Yeah.
Because that's where they were based for preseason.
Yeah, there's one post where everybody's smiling. That's all we know.
Yay, there
may have been soccer
the
at one point
took,
between
the two of
them.
The teams took pictures together. It was like it was both team photo together. So that would say that it was fun. And that's all you can really ask for. Go out there, have some fun, learn a few things. I think also all the internationals for both teams were gone at that point, called up. So, basically our starters, a lot of their starters and bench players, and a fun Saturday day of soccer that we know nothing about. I can only assume we won 4-5-0, of course. But
obviously,
that's just speculation. But if you don't give us any evidence, then I'm allowed to speculate. So
I would say, you know what else is fun? Liking and subscribing.
Ooh, we're all over these.
At RBLR Sports on the YouTube, where you can see our beautiful faces and cool backgrounds, and at RBLR Sun FC everywhere else. Oh, and we have merch again.
Ooh.
Crap, what was the Super producer Eureka, can you send me the merch link again? Oh, no, it's like shop.rblrsports.com. It's like the same thing every time.
I think
time.
It's the same thing. Do you have the banner in the banners folder on the overlays?
Oh, is it there? Wait. Oh, yeah. Look at that. I did. Look at that. Nailing it tonight. Yeah, it's shop.rblrsports. Use code HEATWAVE for 10% off. And I did all my plugs.
We're the bench, even though we're the starters for the podcast, we're also like not getting called up internationally. So we're, you know, you get what you get with that, okay? What's kind of fun, I don't have a great transition for this. What is fun happening with the Sun, though, is that we had some players in camp that I can give you a ton of detail about now, because legendary Sun player Jordan Zaid on hashtag Zaid Train tagged them on an Instagram post, and that means that we know who they are and I can tell you stats about them, and that they were at least in camp with the Sun enough to be invited to Fun Drink Friday with Jordan and Jilly. So I believe that was the post. It was on a Friday. So here's your rundown on two players who were in camp with us and some additional details. The first is Kiana Kropp. We got a great rundown on Kiana from PolkEagles.com. That is the Polk State like sports website with stats about their players. Obviously, she goes to Polk State. And thank you, Ryan Scharf, for finding this article in the same Twitter search that I do. And I scrolled past it for some reason. I didn't block it. So, but thank you, Ryan, for pointing that out to me. So here's a rundown on Kiana, because the article did actually have some information about the Sun. It was about her trialing with us, which I love to see a student reporter give us a scoop, essentially. So she is on a 3-week trial with the Sun, and it actually ended March 2nd, which is yesterday as we record this. She was hoping that the end of the trial would be getting signed, obviously, or it sounded like she also had an option to extend the trial or like extend training with the team. So it sounds like it wasn't just signed or be cut. It sounds like she could make the practice team essentially and continue training with the team. And I think that would be a cool, I think that would be a cool thing for her. You know, we definitely have had a good track record, I would say, of players on our practice team. A couple of them have joined the main team, and she's definitely a pretty good player. I wanted to read a quote out of the article because, again, it's nice to actually have an article about a trialist that's about their trial. So here's her quote from that. Playing professionally has been a dream of mine since I was 13. It is by far the highest level of competition that I've been a part of. Being part of a professional team, it has been friendlier and more welcoming than I would have expected. Being able to be a part of a professional environment has grown my confidence, not only as a player, but as a person. So that was nice to see. Like I said, she was out on a team outing or on a friendly outing with Jordan Zaid and a couple of the other players. So they're getting along. They're gassing her up. Hopefully they're giving it to her on the field so she can learn and improve from actual pros. But that article was pretty good. I'd recommend checking it out on PolkEagles.com. She actually took a year off because she became a parent in 2024. So that's definitely like very interesting for a young player, literally a college player, to experience. And she came back on the team, and they were out of scholarships, I believe, but she was able to like secure essentially funding for herself to get back onto the team and play soccer again. So she's back. She's committed. She talks about it in the article, how she's balancing being a parent with playing and her professional goals. So it's awesome to see. Hopefully the Sun work out for her. And for our sake, she looks like a pretty good player. She had pretty good stats. So we will see how that ends up going. Apparently it ended yesterday, so they already know the result. I'm just yapping. If we hear anything about it, you guys will get to know. The second player that was tagged on Jordan's story is also a very interesting player, but we do not have any official information about her relationship with the Sun at all. Obviously, she was also with the team at an outing that they did, so presumably she is a soccer player. That's the other part that's very important. So Erica Chippa has been with the team. She was in that same Instagram story with Jordan's aid, but we don't know anything about her involvement. She's from Florida Gulf Coast University, and she has a crazy amount of accolades there. If you go to her athlete page on their website, it's like the section of just like all league, all team, all country, academic, first team, like all an amazing amount of accolades. She's a great player, and she actually has the university record for the highest number of goals scored in a season in 2025. And she led the NCAA overall in 2025 in goals scored total. So she's a goal scoring machine, university records. I think she might be like a Florida Gulf Coast GOAT. They might retire her number. I don't know. She seems very, very highly touted there. And she was also the Atlantic Sun Conference Player of the Year. So that just goes to show. And she was unanimous, too. There was no other votes. It was all her for Player of the Year. So definitely very highly touted. And then if that wasn't enough, she just got a call up to the Croatian senior national team. So as if being the leading NCAA scorer for an entire calendar year isn't enough, she's now with Croatia. I did not see her on the team sheet for their most recent game. If I misread something, that could be the case, but I don't think she played. I think this might be her first call up. Her grandparents are European Croatian, presumably, or at least one of them is. So that's great for her to go to an international camp. If she was with us immediately before it, she's definitely gotten a month straight of just way higher level training than maybe she's ever had. So for a player from her perspective, that's very cool. And then also on the post where she got called up, Maddie and Jilly Shimkin both commented congratulating her, and they called her Chippy. That's her nickname because her last name is pronounced Chippa. It is not spelled like that. I had to listen to a podcast to see how to pronounce it.
No, but tell them what podcast.
She was on the Catholic Sports Radio podcast talking a lot about her faith and its relationship with sports. It was a good interview, actually. It was pretty interesting to hear. She played flag football once at the Brown Stadium. She was just talking about like a bunch of memories that she's had. And also just figuring out where her career wants to go. I think she mentioned on that podcast, which came out in January, how she wanted to go to Europe because that's where her grandparents are. Hey, you can go to Europe when you get called up for the national team and still play for the Tampa Bay Sun, Erica. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes. In January, she wanted to go to Europe. Presumably in February, she was trying with the Sun. We will see what the future holds for Erica Chippa. But even if it's not here, get to know, because she seems like she is going to have quite a career ahead of her based on all of her her stats so far in her college career. So yeah, those are two to look out for. Quick recap: Kiana Kropp and Erica Chippa, who are with the team recently, and we don't know anything else about it. We will see, you know, they join the team next year. I don't think we're looking super hard for signings for this year unless we have an injury. That's also kind of what you keep a practice team around for, is you can elevate some of those players. But we will see, you know, we'll get to know in the off season what the build looks like for next year. And if these players are involved, that'd be cool. I like them both.
They could even be, on our quote unquote, practice squad. We haven't heard a lot about it in a minute. It was featured more last year on their Instagram. Jilly Shimkin actually came from our practice squad. So it was like this in between, like not an academy player, but not officially rostered, but we want you there. So I'm assuming that's kind of like, that might've been where Maddie Parsons was as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, we seem to have a track record of elevating these players, and then those players have gone on and played for us, and Maddie scored goals for us. So, like I said, these are pretty promising young players. One's a Croatian international. That'd be pretty cool to catch her right as she's on going up, you know. And if she plays for us and is a standout and gets picked up by an even bigger team or a European team, then I would be very glad that she played with us for any amount of time. So it's very cool.
We had an article pop up about our old pal, Kaylin Marchese. If you don't remember Kaylin Marchese, unfortunately, she had a very short time at the Sun. She came injured from Arsenal, which was very, very cool. Everybody was very excited. This is her hometown. When she finally was able to make her debut with us, 12 minutes in, she goes down with a non-contact injury. my theory was something to do with when she was running back towards goal, something happened with her knee again. She kind of quietly retired after that and hasn't really said much publicly about the team, about her retirement. So this article was called For Keepsake, specifically about her retirement. It was in Her Goal magazine, which that's a... what a name. This is a little bit of a long quote, guys, so stick with me here. Marchese saying, I was supposed to come to a brand new club and league, my hometown, and I was immediately crushed. I was really, really unhappy with how they treated me as an injured player going through a huge setback in my rehab. I was thrown into things too early, and they didn't properly go through all the information Arsenal sent over. When I finally got back, 15 months after my initial surgery, within around 12 minutes of playing, I partially tore my ACL again. I had just gotten a cyst drained in the back of my knee and had steroid injections, so I had to wait a month for surgery, which I know for a lot of people isn't too long, but it was already a long road. Mentally, I was just kind of spiraling and really, really not liking the environment and the culture, how they treated me. And a lot of other people felt like they had similar experiences that I had elsewhere. We did reach out to the Sun front office to see if they had any statement. Christina Uncle, I'll be honest, it's kind of like a pretty boilerplate statement. I'll put it up on the screen for those of watching on YouTube, and I'm also going to read it. Christina Uncle saying, "We are grateful for the professionalism and commitment Kaylin demonstrated while representing the Sun. It was an incredible opportunity to bring Kaylin back home to play in front of her friends and family. We are confident she will carry forward the same work ethic, resilience, and energy that she displayed on the pitch into her next chapter. We thank her for her efforts and wish her all the best in her future endeavors." So, you know, a big nothing burger of a statement. Just nothing, you know, I love her, but come on, that doesn't say much.
Yeah, it was mainly just about her retiring, really, not anything about what she said in the article. I just want to add on that Kaylin talked extensively in the article, so if you're at all interested, you should go read it. Again, it was Her Goal magazine, and I think that article, or at least that issue, has been made free. Somebody posted like a login to be able to see the whole magazine, so you can't access that article for free. But she said she spoke to other players, not Sun players specifically. She said that she spoke to other players who had had setbacks in their career, and she talked extensively about how mentally she was overcoming all of that. So it was a very interesting read, sports psychology style read. And it is like the first time that publicly she said anything about retiring. Just an interesting and, you know, upsetting end to what could have been a great comeback story for her and for the Sun. You know, like Christine Uncle's statement said, we were bringing her home, so we were excited about that too at the time. And I can only hope personally that the team, if there's any lessons to learn on the team side, that we learn them and that a player never feels like this again. That's all I can say. We don't know what happened. We don't know anything organizationally. The team didn't really give us much with the statement, so all I'm going to say is I hope no players feel like that again. And we're doing right by them. So that's all you can really say about that.
I know, especially since we seem to pick up so many players with injuries. That does make me slightly worried about if we're forcing them to come back too soon. I don't want to be too critical, but I also don't want to be like too soft on them because it's someone's health they're messing with.
Yeah.
And it was her at that point livelihood and what she wanted to do. So it's frustrating because she was young, wasn't she? Was like,
she's 27, I believe now, or at least when this article came out. So I believe so.
So like the other thing, especially, I hate to say a keeper, you last a little bit longer, but you know, keepers do last a little bit longer because they're putting their body through still physical things, but a little bit different than like running around, I guess. It's more just throwing yourself. But she definitely had probably at least a good 5 to 7 years left. So that's was really disappointing to see that when it happened, for sure.
And just to add just additional context, we have had Yuki Watari rostered on the team for 2 years. She also had a very similar double ACL. She re-tore it in training, so she actually never appeared in a game. But she was on her way back and tore it again. And we did, maybe we had her on a 2-year contract, so this would be the second year of it. But either way, you know, I hope that the Sun are treating her very well. I know she's been able to go back to Japan and rehab there, as well as being here in the States on and off at different times. So yeah, like I said, we have had long-term injured players on the roster. If there's any lessons to learn, hopefully we've learned them. And hopefully Yuki and any other players that are injured are being treated well. And all you can do is move forward. A lot to learn as a league and an organization. And like I said, hopefully they're learning those lessons. But now, the hardest thing to transition out of. The league has a cool series that they're starting up on their YouTube channel called Built for Success. It is like a docuseries, and it is about individual players, and it's a more in-depth, intimate kind of one-on-one background about a player. They interview coaches. In the first episode, they interviewed family members, and we have an episode coming out tomorrow, which would be today if you're watching this on the day we release it, about Jordan Listrow. So that's pretty cool. The first episode is about Amina Ekic up in Lexington. So that episode was about 8 minutes long, and like I said, they talked about her being you know, playing for her hometown club in Louisville, so I assume Jordan will be a very similar story. I really liked the first episode. I did get to watch it today, and it gave a lot of important context and background. And like I said, in the women's soccer space, and especially in the Super League, and we've talked about it before, not having names, not having stories attached to them that really draw you in, this is the league doing something exactly like that. So I definitely applaud, for one, the fact that this exists. Amina Ekic does not play for the Tampa Bay Sun. She's a very good player, though, and I do now have a lot more additional context when I see her play and think about her, you know, position in Lexington and what she means to that team. And so this episode should give us a good amount of context about Jordan's place in our team. And obviously she's the captain, but just knowing, you know, just a little bit more about her background and her mentality and things like that. These are the kinds of things that you can build up as a league and get people interested and get people to know the names and the stories more in depth. So I'm fiending for this kind of content. They're coming out with some. It's about a Sun player. Very excited to watch that tomorrow. And yeah, we'll see how that goes. I'll probably, if you haven't seen it by next week, we'll definitely watch it and we'll let you know how it is. More Sun player news, but not Sun player anymore, maybe, possibly. I'm sorry. We're on Tosh Flint watch constantly since January. We knew she was in Denver. We broke that she was in the background of an Instagram story. Then Denver officially announced it along with our loan that we received, Faith Weber. And I don't know, she was at their media day. She's in a full kit and she's on their roster page.
She's got a picture with her name.
She's on the roster page for the Denver Summit. What do they call them? Summiters? I don't know. She seems to be a Summiter. She scored in
the Denver Summit, I think.
Well, but like the you know, a player would be like, you know, I'm trying to make something happen that's not happening.
The
anyways,
Summiters, really?
So she is, seems to be fully rostered there now. We have not had an official announcement, but she did perform really well in preseason, better than she was doing here. So I wouldn't be surprised if they wanted to keep her. And also we talked in a previous episode about her history with the head coach over there and that they played or that they were at Manchester City together. So, these kinds of things are going to happen when you have good players. Other people are going to want them permanently, maybe. So we're looking for any kind of announcement that comes out about that. But they got her in a kit and they got her on the roster page and the season is about to start. I'm thinking she might be there forever. So
this one hurts.
This one does hurt.
I know she didn't have the greatest season this year.
Yes.
But it's hard because when I was like so jazzed for all these new players, the team asked me in the heat wave to come like greet her at the airport and it was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, she's definitely an OG. She's forever a Sun. Absolutely has earned all of those accolades. Her time was short only because our team has existed for a short amount of time.
They're
so
not all short.
No. So that being said, look out for possibly an announcement like that coming from Denver, but she will be missed. And we have a consolation, Faith Weber, who did score in our last game. You know, it's not so bad. She has the same amount of goals Tosh did this season. No, actually, damn. She had. What did Tosh even score earlier on? I don't even know if she did.
I don't think so.
Well, so we got an upgrade at the position, and no worries, we'll move on. We love you, Tosh, and we hope you have fun in Denver. And honestly, that's not our league, so honestly, I hope you guys win it all, and she scores 10,000 goals. And yeah, that's good to go.
So we do have something to look forward to at least this weekend. If you're a Sun Chaser, if you're not a season ticket holder, go get with a season ticket holder. Just go find one. I don't think there was a limit technically.
No, we were people. You we could were bring. Able to plus a couple for sure.
Yeah, so. I don't technically think there was one. Somebody said like, "Oh, I got three spots because I have three tickets," and I was like, "I don't remember reading that anywhere." I was gonna put down as many people as I
got two, and I have one. So, you know,
what Tia's not coming? She doesn't want to come out. No,
I got
10
two.
In the morning?
I got two RCPs.
Oh, but you only have one season ticket.
My one season ticket.
That's right. Okay. I was like, wait, what? No. I want Tia.
I also got two season tickets for next year, just so you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, the sun color glasses are on. We both renewed. We think that we are hoping for more for improvements in the next season, and they have learned a lot.
Yes.
But if you are a season ticket holder, sorry, I got way off track. We are having a friendly versus USF women's soccer coached by the Sun coach-in-law, the other Brown.
Am I wrong?
The Brown and the Schulte Brown.
I like calling him Mr. Brown because when I call him Chris Brown, it doesn't make me feel good inside.
I understand. So, I also really like coach-in-law.
Coach-in-law, yeah. I was going to say step coach, but he's... No, it would be in-law.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. So, anyway, if you don't know, if you're completely out of the loop, which I feel like is unlikely if you're an RBLR Sun listener, but Chris Brown, Coach Brown over at USF Women's Soccer, is the husband of Denise Schulte Brown, our head coach at the Tampa Bay Sun. And also, they coached USF Women's Soccer together for 17 years. Over 20 years now, counting his time there. So, yes, it's all in the family. USF Women's Soccer, Sydney Nocello, the Browns, it's all Tampa Soccer, Tampa Women's Soccer, it's all the same people. So it'll be fun. I think that'll be a nice little Saturday morning activity for us.
Yeah, I'm reading here that we will be signing autographs.
RBLR Sun will be there signing autographs. You know, so that offer is at every game, if anyone... wants to come over to the supporter section. We're both there, happy to sign anything you have. So if you can identify Eureka, he might have an RBLR sticker on him, and then we might be able to sign that sticker. So that's your challenge. Yes, we'll have fun on Saturday morning.
Yeah, it's going to be
also,
it's very early. It's at like 10 a.m.
I've never been to the Ybor, the training facility. Never seen it. I've never driven past it. It literally still could be something that people are making up. I have no proof of it myself yet. So.
Oh, I mean, I've been there and toured the facility twice.
You could be lying to me. So
I'm not.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I'm not.
I'll believe it when I see it on Saturday.
Okay. I have pictures with a horse in front of it.
That could have been anywhere. They could put a sun banner on any fence. Okay. speaking of stadiums that don't exist yet. Okay. Speaking of prospective stadiums, Sporting Jacksonville has officially made their big, and I'm going to say big ass stadium announcement. They are going to build a 15,000 seat soccer stadium for targeting men's first division, the new USL Premier Division on the men's side, and also USL Super League, of course, on the women's side. On the women's side, they absolutely have the right to say they want a 15K stadium. I believe their average attendance is 8 or 9,000. They have been doing great up there. Okay, it might be lower than that, but it's been very
high. No. That's what they're saying it is.
Oh, okay.
There's
okay.
No freaking way.
Well, if they can lie and people somewhat believe it like I do, then they're close enough to ask for a few thousand more. They're definitely in the best position in the Super League this year out of any team to say that they deserve a 15,000 yes. seat stadium. This is very good for them. I love to hate it, but also it's one of my most likely away days as well. So if they have cool facilities, that's cool. A little bit more detail about it. Of course, there's articles all over the place if you want to read the intense details about it. But overall, it's privately funded. And I think that is going to be the biggest, like, oh, it's actually going to get done thing.
Yeah, wait to look up what it's privately funded by.
Yeah. And it's going to be a mixed use area. Think the Battery around Truist Park. If you're familiar with the Atlanta Braves, they built that facility and they built almost kind of like an outdoor mall around the stadium, all like walkable area. There's concert venues, there's corporate offices, also kind of what the Sun Stadium proposal that we don't know anything about was. But this one is definitely inspired heavily by the Battery, and that has been an inspiration for a lot of stadium developments because it's made the Braves a ton of money. Because what the team does, or at least the company that like owns the team in the stadium, they retain ownership of the whole area and then they rent all of that space. Yeah, of course, there's the buzzwords. It's a hub. It's a social thing. They are actually going to have a deal. I'm not going to get this perfectly word for word, but I believe they're going to have a deal with the city where like local high school and college teams can play there as well. It's going to become like a municipal stadium for the city, but also it's going to be private land so that they can rent all the space around it and make a shit ton of money off the people. So that's kind of what Jacksonville's doing. It's exciting for the prospect of going to an away day for the Sun in a really big stadium that's not Carolina. Otherwise, screw Jacksonville, screw Fort Lauderdale, up the Sun. The state of Florida is a dark blue, not the other two blue teams.
Yeah, not the other, and yellow, yeah. But not the other teams yellow.
Yes. So yeah, that's your vague stadium update about what's going on up in Jacksonville.
There has been some hubbub about the USL Players Association collective bargaining agreement. I had to remember what all of those letters mean all at once.
Write it out next time, but yeah. You did great.
I got it, though. I got it. We don't know much about how it relates to the Sun. If you want to know more about it specifically, I highly recommend checking out the latest RBLR Rowdies episode. They have covered it extensively, and they are much more, they've looked into it way more than we have, because we know very little about how it really relates to the Super League. The most recent update we have is, quote, the USLPA is the exclusive bargaining representative of the USL Super League players. We don't even have an update for the Gainbridge Super League.
Yes.
In 2024, we had Amanda Vandevort, our league president, say that she's optimistic to work with the Players Association, and the USL has had a great relationship with the Players Association over time, so we look forward to those conversations. Theoretically, the strike could start as early as Friday. That is the first game for the championship. I know the championship it's been really centered around, because they are the, I think they're the topmost league that's involved at the moment. And they had a lot of issues with basic necessities for players. So I don't know about you, but I'm pretty much assuming that the RBLR stance is that we stand with the players.
So, yeah, I do want to just clarify, they are bargaining for the USL Championships players CBA, but last time they got it, it also, a different version of it was applied to League One, and the Super League players, again, the article that I found was 2024, the Super League players were trying to have it ratified for the Super League. So basically what happens to the USLPA Championship players will, I hate to use the phrase trickle down. That's not what it does, but it will affect, like, it'll be the baseline for the other two leagues, League One, the lower league, and the Super League on the women's side. So it's something to keep an eye on. Like Liz said, go check out RBLR Rowdies. They have a great interview with Kardik, who is absolutely an expert, written articles. I've seen tons of bylines in the last couple of weeks about the Players Association and the ongoing disputes. And also follow the Players Association on Instagram or Twitter, because they are posting some fire. They did
great responses.
They did a breakdown of the most recent USL statement, the USL championship statement, that it was like a explainer where they took out individual sentences and said in as many words why it was BS. So I think, you should go check out what the USLPA is doing. It may eventually affect how our players are treated, because I believe, like I said, the original Super League players wanted the exact same deal that the championship had, which would make sense because that's what the organizations in our league are going to be most familiar with in terms of bargaining with the players. And the USLPA is the Super League players' bargaining organization. They're just busy with their own championship stuff right now. So if we have any updates about that stuff, we will let you know.
We have some other matches this week. We have Brooklyn versus DC Power on Saturday at 2 p.m. Both teams last played a little less than a month ago. They played on Valentine's Day, February 14th. DC tied us 1-1. Brooklyn tied Fluted 3-3. So that should actually be a pretty interesting game. I kind of want to see how Brooklyn's doing, how Brooklyn and DC are going to do together, kind of like mid-tier teams. And then we have March 8th, Sunday at 1 p.m., Lexington versus Dallas. Dallas is coming off a 2-0 loss to Carolina, and Lexington is coming off a 3-0 loss to Jacksonville. So both teams are going to be out for blood. I think that's also going to be a really great match. It's at home in Lexington, so we will see how that goes.
Lexington is going to be so mad.
Yeah,
they were definitely really mad about losing that game to Jacksonville. And hashtag Sunwatch. We probably want Lexington to win that game because Dallas is in the mix of teams that we actually could theoretically reach before the end of the season if we want playoff hopes. So I'm looking at that DC Brooklyn game as like they're both near us in the table. That is to say in the bottom half. And so these are teams we'll have to pass. I'm like, I need a draw. I don't care if it's 0-0 or 5-5 or whatever. I want you guys only getting a single point. We really need three teams at the top of the league that get all the points off the other teams. And then we're the fourth team that sneaks into playoffs would be like the optimal outcome of all of this. So Lexington is in second. That game against Jacksonville where they lost 3-0 was the first versus second place team in the league. Jacksonville proved by far they deserve to be first. And like I said, Lexington taking points off of Dallas and retaining their second spot. I don't think we're getting second or first this year. Helps us in the playoff picture overall. If you want to watch those games with bias, which I always feel like if I'm watching a game, I need to have like, okay, but how does this affect? How can I make it about me? You know? So.
Yes, this is your weekly reminder. We're not out of the playoffs yet. We are last. Yeah. Not out of the playoffs yet.
I didn't see no E on the lineup or on the table. So.
And then kind of finishing up for today, we had one International Sun kind of appearance. Sydney Schneider was on the bench for Jamaica. This was Tuesday, March 2nd. They won 3-2 over, and I didn't put who they played, and I think it was Nicaragua. Of course, I didn't put who they played. Good job, Lizzie. Well, they played someone.
Sydney was on the bench.
She was on the bench. And to be fair, I was like, oh, why is Sydney on the bench? And then I go and I look at their starting keeper, Becky Spencer. She's just the starting keeper for Chelsea. No big deal.
That would do it. So.
So just a quick scoring recap. Bunny Shaw, we know and we love her, scored in the 37th and 58th. And then Shania Hales made it 3-1 in the 68th.
Nice.
So I did not see any other dates for any of our players. I know Braithen Gault was on the – she played in one match for Scotland for their U19 team. But she didn't repost – that the match was happening until after it happened. So I missed it.
Heard.
I saw her post and I was like, oh my God, they're playing. What are they playing? And then I go to the Scotland Instagram and it was like a 2-2 draw or something like that. And I was like, oh,
Is that like YouTube? Like, how do you even watch like a Scotland U19 women's? Like, how do you even watch that?
You hope that they provide links, yeah. Or you find the slightly more better than legal links that I can provide in the Heatwave Discord.
Damn. Okay, Liz is the plug, I guess. You get 40 minutes into an RVLR Sun episode, Liz is going to hook you up.
Yep. Yeah. All the more reason to join the Heatwave Discord, by the way. Invites are on the Heatwave Instagram page.
Yeah. Well, big week with no games. Big week regardless.
Yeah. I would prefer games. We will try to write down and cover as much as we can for that scrimmage, but
yes.
I feel like it's going to be a very vibes-based game.
I'm going to be watching, well, first of all, I'm going to have my USF soccer scarf, of course. Any chance I have to tongue-in-cheek cheer against my...
You should get all the alumni to sign
it. Ooh, that's a good idea. If it wasn't a winter scarf, it's a winter scarf, so that feels like harder to sign. But anyways, any chance to tongue-in-cheek cheer against my favorite team, it's like my college, you know, it's like, then I take that opportunity.
If you wear a USF shirt, I'm not letting you get in the car.
This is an extremely, I hope both teams have fun, but really, and this isn't out of the question, I'm watching to see if there's a future Sydney DeCello on that team, or, USF women's soccer has put out a lot of great prospects, some internationals, very good players. And so I'm going to be watching and identifying players that I think should come to the Sun. That'd be cool. And I'm sure the Sun coaching staff also has their own eyes on things. Although, again, talking about USF women's soccer players could be household conversation between the husband and wife duo that is USF women's head coach and our head coach. So maybe they already do talk about it, and Denise already knows all of those players very well, which seems like it's probably the case. But either way, it should be a fun time on Saturday. See you there if you will be there. If you're not going to be there, get season tickets, and then we can all see each other a little bit more often.
All right. I want to say that about wraps it up for today.
I think so.
Make sure to like and subscribe. Hit all the buttons. We are at RBLR Sports on the YouTubes and at RBLR Sun FC on all the other places where we will update you on stuff. Make sure you don't miss the stuff.
Don't miss the stuff. Tap in. More screen time. We had a screen time discussion in the Heatwave Discord. More screen time
in the Heatwave chat. It makes me, I don't want to check mine. I don't.
I won't make fun of your screen time if 20% of it is looking at the RBLR Sun social media channel.
20%? That's so much.
There's a lot to scroll through.
I don't even think I look at the social media that much.
Yeah. I only followed the account like 3 months ago. Sorry. Not to put anyone on the blast, you know.
All right. We'll see you later. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.